And we, for some reason, have a sparse crowd. Hopefully that'll change. Eric Stern, bring it in. No, don't start recording, yeah. Okay, devices off and away, please. Okay, I wanted to do something a little bit different today. I wanted to discuss Purim, aspects of Purim, primarily Sudas Purim and Drishnan Purim, primarily. A little bit different in the sense that we're going to divide the Sikha into three distinct parts. One is a brief, source-based halakhic discussion of the mitzvah, whether it's a mitzvah, the nature of the mitzvah of drinking on Purim. Then I will share with you a hashkafic aspect of about drinking on Purim, and then a little bit of divrei musar and chizuk related to Purim. Okay, first the halakhic section. There should be source sheets that are around. We'll do relatively quickly. Very very anomalous kind of mitzvah. If I were to think of in Judaism, in halacha, drinking seems to be antithetical to what Yabbos is all about. And all of a sudden on Purim we have a mitzvah purportedly to drink. And I want to explore exactly how the Mefarshim struggle, and they do struggle on a halakhic basis with the mitzvah. The Gemara tells from the Megillah, famous Gemara, that Zayin Amid Beis, Amar Rabba Mechai Vinishol Besun Bepuria Ad Dilo Yada Ben Arur Haman LeBaruch Mordechai. There's a mitzvah, a chiyuv too. Drink on Purim to the point of Arur Haman LeBaruch Mordechai. You don't know that distinction. Two sections of that Gemara are difficult. One is, what is the reason, the basis, what's it all about to drink on Purim? Secondly, the shir, to go to the extent of Arur Haman and Mordechai is very, very radical. The Gemara then continues with a very famous story. Rabbi Zera Abdu Sudas Purim Bahadeh Hadadi. They had Sudas Purim together. Ipsum. And they got drunk. Come Rabbah. Rabbah got up and Shachte L'Rab Zera. And he went ahead and executed, killed Rav Zera, and was not too happy about it. Lamachar, the next day when he sobered up, so boy Rachameh, he davened to Hashem for Rachamim and Ve'achyeh, and Rav Zera miraculously revived. Yes, I'm Asim. According to Pashup Shat in the Gemara, he became once again alive. Well, somewhat humorously, the Gemara continues, and Lashana, next year, Rabbah approached Rav Zera, and he said, didn't we have a great time last Purim? How about we do it again? Amale, Nesi Marv and Navit Sudas Purim Bahadi Hadadi. Let us celebrate Purim once again. And Rav Zera says, Amale, Lo b'chol shaita b'shaita misrachish nisa. It is not every year that I can count on a nes happening. Thank you very much. I'll have Sudas Purim with my grandmother. That's the Gemara. Rashi on the spot tells us, very important, Le'ibisumek, there's a mitzvah too, get drunk on Purim, Le'ishtake, Rashi writes, Be'yayin. And the simple interpretation is, the reason for the mitzvah is a zeichel hanes. The Megillah surrounds a lot of mishte, yayin, and therefore the mitzvah, should there be one, is with yayin, not other beverages of intoxication, but limited to wine and only wine. Do we pass in this way, la halacha? Is there indeed, as the simple reading of the Gemara says, a chiyuv to do this? Comes along the more hakat the balamor, Saita Rabbeinu Ephraim, source 3, which says in this Gemara, why did the Gemara bring the story of Rabbah and Rav Zera? Chiyuv, story, Rav Zera was killed. Why did it bring that story? Says Rabbeinu Ephraim, to tell you, the reason for the story is to teach you that less Hilchos HaKavah say the lav shaper dami lemevet hachi. The halacha is not like Rabbah to drink on Purim. It is improper. It's the wrong thing. That's the reason for the story, and therefore should not be done. That's Rabbeinu Ephraim in the Baal HaMor. That goes Maimonios, tones it down a little bit, and he quotes the Rav Yah, who says the kohani drinking, and certainly to that extent, Le mitzvah ba'alma v'lo la'akev is a mitzvah, but it is not likuvah. If a person does not get drunk on Purim, he is 100% yotze, the mitzvah yom. It's a mitzvah, he gets a mitzvah, he does it, but he doesn't have to. He's a full-fledged good Jew. By not doing so, The Yad Ephraim, a commentary in Shulchan Aruch, writes as follows. On this mitzvah of Chai Ben Lashu Besumei, HaKavana Hi She'ikra Achiv Shal HaMishter Hu She'eshorui B'Simcha. The mitzvah of the mishter is to be in joy, joyful. Kidetziv V'yayin Yisameach Le'vav Enosh, wine brings you happiness. She'eshorui B'Simcha Ched Vas Hashem U'uza. And as a result of that feeling of happiness and joy that you have, Yitain todos v'halal Hashem al hanes mitoch harchovas alev. When you drink, you feel good, you feel expansive, and that's a posture of giving shevach v'hodat Hashem. V'lachem, therefore, eilo l'hishtaker yoter midai. A person should not become excessively drunk. She is baal bel datos, it'll get confused. Lo yakir b'tokav hanes, and don't appreciate what it's all about. And therefore, he says the mitzvah ad v'lo yada is ad v'lo ad bichla. If you're to the point where you indeed are confused between Haman and Mordechai, you've gone too far. To be confused, no, it's not ad. Inclusive of that stage, well before that stage, ad v'lo ad bichla. And then he continues and he says, he quotes the story of Rabba killing Rav Zera. So that's a maisa listor. So how is it possible that you're supposed to do that if that can evolve, that murder can take place? So he says, Uksas poskim kasa shakavanahu shemizeh yeshumot she'en halacha k'rava. Perhaps halacha is not like Rava, that's Rabbein Ephraim. Adarav, maisi siyata mizeh shemashikiv lasas yimei mishteh v'simcha gvul yeshio. It's trying to tell you there's a limit, there's a stopping point, that yeshlo shalo yishtaker yoter midai. That one should not take it over the line. So you already see in Rishonim and in Mefarshim that the simple reading of the Gemara, Ben Arah Hamla Baruch Mordechai, has a cap, is limited, is not to encourage a wanton and total disregard of any sense of normalcy. That is clear from the Mefarshim. And indeed, the Mefarshim then get into what is our Haman Baruch Mordechai. Am I supposed to really drink to the point where I'm confused? How? That's very, 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 very drunk to realize that, oh, Baruch Haman and our Mordechai, that is quite a stage of intoxication. The Rashash here quotes that there used to be a very, very complicated song, a piyut, a poem, a whole Purim poem from the Aleph Beis. Very, very complex with a lot of verses. And when you start to say that over by heart, you start to get a little confused on the verses, then that's what it has in mind over here. That's Rasha's source. Hey, the Aruch HaShulchan echoes this as well on the second page in source 9. It was a zemer that they used to sing, Arahan Baruch Mordechai. When you get confused, it would be one of these like tongue twisters. And when you get confused, that's already when you'd be over the line. You don't have, you can stop. And then he quotes in Siddalid, what does it mean, Aruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai? Ad shelo yuchal lahachriya eze tova hoysa yoter b'dola. Which was greater, the downfall of Haman or the uplifting of Mordechai? And when you have that confusion, what was greater at that point in time? Enough is enough. Again, they deal with that issue. Finally, lahalacha. And with this, we'll close the halachic survey. The halacha is brought down in Shulchan Aruch Simin Tav Reish Tzadi Hey. Dinei Sudas Purim, and the Shulchan Aruch says clearly, Chayev Inish Lebesumia Puria Adlo Yada Ben Araham Lebaruch Mordechai, quotes the Gemara in a very straightforward and simple fashion, and the Rama steps in and says, V'yesh Omrim, De'ein Sarech Lehistaker, Lehistaker Kalkach, Ela Yishte Yoter Milunuda. You don't have to drink to that point, rather, a little more than you are regular to drink. And then v'yishan, and then go to sleep. Drink a little more than regular, and then yishan umitoch shiyashen in eodeh ben araham lebaruch Mordechai. By sleeping, now you're in that state of lack of cognition between Baruch Mordechai and Arur Haman. And then a very, very critical bir halacha. The bir halacha is the Mishnah Berurah. And he's asking a very fundamental question, which we'll touch on in the hashkafic section of our discourse. He says, I don't understand. Judaism, halacha, yahadus, does not exactly look favorably on drunkenness. and on alcohol and the like. In fact, many, many bad things, pritzus, gilarayos, breach of mitzvos, happen as a result of alcohol. He says, the kamakomas hashikros lemitzvah gadol. We find this in the Torah, in the Vim. So how is it possible that we can go ahead and have this day of such wanton frivolity? And he writes, it all is in the context of Zecher Lanes. Shenasi Yisov Me'achashveros Hayaldei Mishter, Ki Betchila, you have a Mishter of Vashti, and then Esther, and the downfall of Haman, it's all Al Yidei Mishter. V'lachet. And therefore, since that's the context of the Megillah, the Nisan happened through Mishter, Chivu Chacham Lehishtaker Ad Kadesh Yezecher Lanes Bishtias Hayai. And then he writes, and he puts on his final remark on the mitzvah, it's mikom makom kol zeh lemitzvah v'lo la'akev. Person who is not, doesn't want to do it, he's 100% mahajim in a mahajim, a good Jew. It's a mitzvah v'lo la'akev. Then he writes, it's a mitzvah to have a suda and simcha na'achil and shtia. U'mikom makom ein anu mitzuvim lehishtaker u'lahafchit atzmeinu mitoch ha'simcha. To reduce ourselves, to degrade ourselves as a result of drinking and drunkenness is not to be done. Shalonis tabu al simcha shal holus v'shal shtus. We're not commanded in a simcha of holus, frivolity and stupidity. That's not what it's about. Ela b'simcha shal tainu, a pleasure shiagia mitocha la'avas Hashem yizbarach v'hodo al anisim shal salonu. A little more than regular. This is very, very important. You know yourself. And if you know yourself and you'll be mezalzel in any mitzvah min ha-mitzvos, b'netilas yadayim, ubracha, ubirchas amazon, o shoy sal mincha, o mariv, o sheyino kalus rosh, mutav shelo yishtaker. Better not to get drunk, v'chol ma'asav yu l'shem shamayim. And all of your actions should be l'shem shamayim. That must be the order of the day. Not to breach a bracha rishona, bracha achrona, marav mincha, megillah reading, whatever the case may be, that says the Bir Halacha has the order of the day. And then finally, I just put on the Rambam says that you want to do a mitzvah mahajim and a mahajim on Purim, it shouldn't be the mitzvah of su'uda. The mitzvah that we should focus on mahajim and a mahajim on Purim is the mitzvah matanos la'evyon. And that's where our money should be directed, that's where our money should be spent, that's a true sense of simcha, and that is a brief survey of the halakhic literature on the topic of drinking on Purim. I think, again, the message that the halakha transmits is very, very clear. Hashkafa, and here you don't have sources, but it will be slightly source-based hashkafa. This is what I heard from my Rebbe, and it is a very, very novel concept, and to be honest, it is very, very sobering of a concept. We usually think of Purim as a day of tremendous simcha, everything goes, everything gets let loose, tremendous sense of mishteh, simcha, the whole deal. And when you think about Purim, however, a little deeper, you'll realize that Purim is a much more complex day. For example, there is the Amalek that permeates Purim, and that Amalek is still here with us. Golus permeates Purim. We're not in Eretz Yisrael, the whole nace happened in Chutz La'aretz. Hashem's name not being revealed is very relevant. And the fact is that the day before Purim, time is Esther. And the fact that there's this dichotomy of Suda on Purim, but time is the day before, suggests Purim perhaps is a little bit tempered by some of the other aspects that are around. For example, do we say Hallel on Purim? So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Megillah that there is no Hallel. It's the Gemara in Daf Yud Dalet. The Gemara says, why is there halal on Pesach and not on Purim? After all, these are Nisim. Both happened in Chutz La'aretz. So why by Pesach yes and by Purim no? And the Gemara gives three reasons why there is no halal on Purim. Reason number one that there is no halal on Purim is because we're in Galus. By Pesach, we never were in Eretz Yisrael. Purim, we were in Eretz Yisrael, we were exiled, and it's in Galus, and a Nes Sheba Galus, no halal. Galus, we're still in exile. When Purim is over, where are we? We're in exile. Shem Hashem, not revealed. Still exile. It's not a full geula. Second reason that we don't say halal on Purim, truth is, we do say halal on Purim. It is in disguise, but it's there. What's the Gemara say? Kriyasa zuhi halela. We do say halal on Purim in disguise in the Megillah itself. Okay, good. Third reason, Amar Rabba. You know why we don't say halal on Purim, we do on Pesach. On Pesach, we made a fundamental transformation. We went from being Avdei Paro to being Avdei Hashem. A very radical switch. What's the last psukim of the Megillah? What? That Achashverosh established a tax. Why do I need to know about this tax that is established by Achashverosh, says Rabbah? At the end of Purim, we started being Avdei Achashverosh, the Akati Avdei Achashverosh Anan. We are still the slaves and the servants of Achashverosh, and therefore, this is not an occasion for halal. Is it a full-blown simcha? It's a simcha. But like Pesach with Nisim Gluyin, Avdei Hashem, apparently says the Gemara, not. Are you allowed to get married on a yontif? On Chol HaMoed? Nisuin? No. Absolutely not. Why not? In ma'arvin simcha b'simcha, you cannot commingle and mix a simcha with another simcha. Yontif is day of simcha. Marriage is simcha. If you get married on yontif, that creates a dilution of one or the other. We don't get married on a yontif. Are you allowed to have a wedding, a chuppah, a nisuin on Purim? Yes. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Tafreis Sarivav Halachaches, Mutar Lisa Isha b'Purim. Ah, what about simcha and ein ma'arav and simcha b'simcha? So the Taz writes, Purim is trouble. Watch yourself. Because Purim is not a day of simcha. That's what the Taz writes. It's not a day of v'samachta b'chagecha. You know what it is a day of? It's a day where you have a sudas Purim, a mishteh, and at the mishteh you have simcha. But the guts of the day are not inherently in clash with a wedding. You can have a wedding in the morning, you have your sudah in the afternoon. They can coexist. There's no problem of a commingling of simcha. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Is there avelus on a regel, on a yontif, on Chol HaMoed? Absolutely not. Why? You can't have a simchas achad and avelus. Those are contradictory emotions. Is there avelus? A person, Rachmana Tzanz in Shiva, or what have you, Shloshim, is there avelus on Purim? Shulchan Aruch says, Kol divrei avelus, noagim bechanukah uva Purim. Is avelus on Purim? What does that tell you about Purim? Is it a day of simcha? It's a day of mishteh. A day we have a suda with mishteh, but the essence of the day, from top to bottom, apparently, is not simcha. In fact, if you look in the Gemara in Maseches Megillah and Perek Ches of the Megillah, when they established Purim, they wanted to establish, there was a plan to establish it as a day of simcha, mishteh, and Yom Tov. What does Yom Tov mean by definition? Isser Malacha. That's what they wanted. But it didn't happen. And they changed it up, and when it was established finally in Peretz, they made it as a day, not of, listen carefully, Simcha, Mishteh, and Yom Tov, but rather a day of Mishteh and Simcha. Notice what happened. Yom Tov was eliminated. There's no Isser Malacha. And what happened? It was meant to be established as a day of Simcha, Mishta, and Yom Tov. What was it established as? Mishta, Simcha. What does that mean? If Simcha is first, that means that is the essence of the day. If Mishta comes first, what's the nature of the day? It's a day where you have a Mishta. You have a party, you have a Suda, and in the Suda you have what? You have Simcha. But it doesn't mean that the molecular nature of the day is a day inherently of Simcha. If it was, there'd be no weddings, there'd be no avelos. There are weddings and avelos. That seems to be emergent, and the reason I would suggest to you is that this is a nace. But is Hashem revealed?
No.
Where are we at the end of the day? In Golos. What's going on at the end of the day? Akati, Avdei Achashverosh Anan, no Hallel. It's just not on that level of a Yontif. On a Yontif, what is the overarching mitzvah of the day that we can't do today, unfortunately? What is the mitzvah every member of Klal Yisrael does as they march the hills, past the hills of Mevaseret, and move to the Beis HaMikdash, and they stand Lifnei Hashem? Rav Soloveitchik always used to say over that a true sense of Simcha is when a person is Omed Lifnei Hashem. That's why Yontif and the Regel are the paradigmatic V'samachta Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. When it comes to Purim, unfortunately, where do we find ourselves? In Golos. It's not a full Geula, and we don't find ourselves Lifnei Hashem. My Rebbe wanted to suggest the following. Watch this. Why don't we say Hallel? What's the last answer? Akati Avde Achashverosh. Who's the author of that last position? Amar Rabba. Who is the author of the position of Chayiv Inish Lebesume Lepuria?
Rabba.
I don't get it. Rabba is saying, go get drunk on Purim. Rabba is saying, don't say Hallel on Purim. Why not Hallel? Because we still have Avadim to Achashverosh. Well, that's the case. Then why are we drinking? Why is he saying to drink? It looks like a flat-out contradiction. And the answer that I heard from my Rebbe was, when you are Lifnei Hashem, truly, truly Lifnei Hashem, where is that exactly? Beis HaMikdash. And who does that all the time? Klal Yisrael, but led by who all the time? The Kohanim. Are the Kohanim allowed to drink when they're doing Avoda? Yayin v'shechar al tesht. When you're Lifnei Hashem, in the presence of the Almighty, there's no drinking. There's no sense of drinking. And that's the highest level of Simcha. You know why Rava says you drink on Purim? You know why? Because there was a Geula. And there is a Nes. And it is special. But if you really, really thought about it, you'd say, you know what? It's special, but it's a little not so special. We're missing a lot. We're in Golos. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So you know what Rabbi tells you? You might need a little help. A little stimulant. A little something to get you going. Because Akati Avdei Achashverosh. Therefore, give yourself a little help. If you're in the Beis HaMikdash, Yayin V'Shechar, I'll taste 100% Asur. 100% Asur. That was the sin of who? Of Nadav Aviv. In the presence of Hashem, and you're drinking Chas V'Shalom. It's dafka because there's a little bit of Golos here that we need a little bit of help. And hence, the role I'm suggested of the wine. As I say, a somewhat sobering thought. And some have called me the Grinch that stole Purim. And who would want to be that? But I have been called that on occasion. I would like to suggest, therefore, a slightly different angle. Still slightly sobering, but a little more optimistic, a little more positive. Gentlemen with the devices, it is very distracting to me and rude at the same time. Why did all this happen? Why did Haman rise to that sense of power where he had the possibility of destroying the Jewish people? Experts in Megillah, who can give me the answer? Alter Gross? Alter Gross. Focus. Alter Gross? Not good. What? Alter Gross. Would you like to approach the bench, please?
Come on, man.
They want me to make fun of you and destroy you. Why is it that Haman was allowed to rise to power? That the Jews, what did the Jews deserve? That their lives were almost destroyed by Haman. What did the Jews do to warrant? Dr. Bayes McGill. Shalu Tamidav es Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Neiman es Chayim Usalim Shai Soshvo Zador. Klia? Why did Jews deserve to be what? Destroyed? Amar Lahem? Amar Atem? What you said? You said. The Rebbe said you said. You said. What does that mean? Okay, sit right there, Albert. Because they got pleasure from the Suda of Osa HaRasha. Who's Osa HaRasha? Achashverosh. Achashverosh made a party. Anyone know how long that party lasted? A half a year. Plus, it was 180 days. And then he said, you know what? This is going so well. Let's add another week. 187-day party. And who was invited? All the chasra people of Shushan, including the Jews. And they went to the party, and they enjoyed the party. They got into it, they got pleasure, and this was a special party. They used the special kelim. Where did kelim come from? The Beis HaMikdash. Unbelievable kelim. There was food, there was drink, there was revelry for 187 days. Were the Jews who participated in this party forced to perhaps eat not kosher food? Or perhaps drink wine that was touched by Gentiles, which is of course Usher? The Megillah tells us, Shtiyat Kadosh! The drinking was according to everyone's religious standards? No one was forced to breach religious standards? And in fact, actually, the Gemara makes very clear that Haman used this as an attack against the Jews. What did he say?
He said,
right, you're Gimel Amid Beis in Masechet Megillah. Alter, you are minimally attempting to redeem yourself. Alter suggests, based on the Gemara, you're Gimel Amid Beis, that Haman said, if a fly falls into the wine, you know what the Jews do? They take the fly out and they drink the wine. But if you Achashverosh touch the wine, they won't drink the wine. That was something to get Achashverosh's anger up. But the point is, they were able to drink the wine at the Suda and keep all of the halachos of kashrus. But what happened was, the drinking, the partying, imagine what kind of society we're talking about. That the king hosts in his capital city a 187-day party. What kind of society are we talking about? Yes, indeed, University of Maryland. It is a society of hedonism, of corruption, of a value system. Think about it. A royal party, the best of the best, for over a half a year. Which also meant, by the way, which is not a focus in the Megillah, you've got slaves and servants that are keeping on working and working to serve those at the party. The drinking becomes orgiastic in nature, and when the drinking becomes orgiastic, the whole atmosphere takes on orgiastic characteristics. And as the Megillah, the Gemara describes on Yudbeis and Yudbeis, the people at the party start to brag, and they start to talk about their conquests and their women. And the Gemara tells us, Amar Rava Yom HaShvi'i. It was the seventh day. It was the seventh day. By Yom HaShvi'i, Ketov Lev HaMelech Bayayin. And the king is feeling pretty good on the seventh day. The Gemara asks, shouldn't have taken 7 days to feel good at such a party. So why does it say by Yom HaShvi'i? So the Gemara says, no. He wasn't happy the first 6 days of this wine drinking fest. Amarava Yom HaShvi. When it says Yom HaShvi, it was actually Shabbos Hay. It wasn't the 7 day of the party, it was the 7 day of the week. And the day of Shabbos, Shisro Ochlin Beshos Matchimim B'Divrei Torah, where the Jews eat and drink but say Divrei Torah and praise Hashem, and the Akum, the Ovdei Chochavim, Ochlin Beshosin. And Ein Matchilin Ella B'Divrei Tiflus. And they start talking lewdly, corruptly, preetzus starts to emerge in their sudas. And so it was with the suda of Oso Rasha of Achashverosh. The men would start to brag, Halal Omrim Midoyos Naos. The women of Madai were the most beautiful and attractive. The Halal Omrim and other men said, Parsios Naos. The Persian women were the most beautiful and attractive. Amar lehem Achashverosh. And Achashverosh, the king of the heathens, says, Kli, listen to the words, the corrupt and vulgarity that is being spoken. Kli sha'ani mishtanesh bo. The vessel that I use. She is not from Madai. She is not from Paras. She's actually a Kazni. And you want to see her? Do you want to see what she looks like? The Kazdi, she's not Paras or Madai. And they say, sure, we'll see her. Only if she comes down naked. And this was the party of Achashverosh. And this was the party that the Jews started to be enamored from. They started to enjoy. Now, I will tell you, was there anything not kosher? The food was mahadrin min mahadrin. The drink was badatz. However, the culture and the atmosphere was one that was fundamentally antithetical to everything that was Jewish. And they start to be nehemeth nesuda shel osho rasha. They start to identify with his banquet, with his worldview, with his hedonistic lifestyle and approach. And in Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's language, he puts it as follows. At this point, the world viewed a level of pleasure where it's not about work and labor and so forth. The escape is not in the direction of a Beis Medrash or a synagogue. That would be okay. The escape is in the direction of clubs and pubs. People try to forget the world and thereby escape from constructive creative work to a world of pleasure, desire, and reveling. And we only know too well that this pleasure becomes an aspiration. The ideal is to keep work to a minimum and to raise the pleasure level to the maximum. This represents problems with one's value system. In addition, there's a moral problem to go ahead and have a philosophy of hedonism, of luxury, of abundance, even when everything is kosher, is something that the Gemara tells us. That's the reason. That's the cause for the potential downfall of the Jewish people in Shushan. And were it not for a change in direction fasting, tefillah, the leadership and power of Mordechai and Esther standing for classic Jewish values, Haman would have carried the day. The challenge and the culture that was Shushan that led to the potential demise of Klal Yisrael is certainly a challenge, an exact nisayon that we find today, where to go ahead and keep kosher, even mahadrim, and have kosher wines and kosher feasts and everything glatt to the glatt when it comes to the technical observance of mitzvahs, but at the same time to have absorbed and to absorb a certain culture where it's about pleasure, it's about hedonism, it's about a certain non-Jewish set of values, is certainly a challenge that we face ourselves. And perhaps one could suggest, why then the drinking on Purim? What is that all about? So maybe our challenge is to take wine, which was the instrument and vehicle that so easily could lead down that slippery slope to Aveira after Aveira, to a culture of tremendous Gili Arayos and Pritzos, and somehow use the physical and use this instrumentation in a manner of Hoda'ah, of Hala Ulahodos Lashem, to use it to go ahead and uplift us, to do mitzvos on this one day, to do mitzvos in a better fashion, to be able to unleash our inner desire to connect Hashem, and to go ahead and take that physical, which was used in the story in Purim, certainly the first Mishnah, in such a horrific way, and to channel it in such a better way. I like to share with the Talmidim of the Yeshiva every year before Purim a very, very stunning Medrash. The Medrash is found in the Tanchuma on Parshas Noach, and says something unbelievable. Medrash says, when Noah got out of the Teva, the first thing he does after he leaves the Teva, brings a carbon, then right away he plants a vineyard. And the vineyard seems to grow in a very, very accelerated fashion. And we know exactly what happens with that vineyard. What happens with that vineyard is he drinks of it, and Ham, his son, violates him sexually, either sodomizes him, castrates him, two deos in the Mefarshim, in Chazal. Wine leads to certain sexual licentiousness. He plants a vineyard, it grows very quickly. The Medrash says, how did it grow so quickly? What happened? So he had a good fertilizer. And he took urine from four different animals. And he collected the urine and he poured it on the vineyard. And all of a sudden, very quickly, the grapes grew and the wine was produced. What were those four animals? Medrash says it was a lamb, it was a lion, it was a monkey, and it was a pig. And he collected the urine from the four animals, poured it on the vineyard, and it started to spread. What's the idea? What's the message? So the message, the pashup shot, clearly this medrash is that when it comes to drinking, drinking transforms a person. It changes a person. Alcohol does that. And perhaps one could suggest there are four levels of drunkenness or drinking that impacts a person. Level number one, your first cup, it causes you to become calm, placid, relaxed, lamb-like. Level number two starts to embolden you. Your defenses start to perhaps bleed a little bit. You loosen up. And perhaps what might be a natural inhibitor that you have within you starts to become released and you become lion-like. You might sing zmiros in a way that you wouldn't have sung before because of your inhibitor. And you might have said things in a certain way that you might not otherwise say because of the natural inhibitors, it loosens you up and makes you lion-like. It perhaps emboldens you in a certain way that wouldn't exist otherwise. Level number three, you start acting like a fool, like an idiot, like a monkey, prancing around like a moron. Become monkey-like, that's level number three. And level number four is when you start to wallow in your own muck, like a pig, sliding around in his own filth, in his own dirt. That's what alcohol can do. Calms you, emboldens you, makes you act silly and foolish, and then makes you act filthy and pig-like. There's no doubt in my mind that levels three and levels four have nothing to do with mitzvah and purim. Nothing to talk about. When you're at level four, nothing to do with mitzvah. At level three, nothing to do with mitzvah. When you go ahead, and because of loosening up a little bit with alcohol, with wine, a person sings more passionately. A person perhaps cries to his Rebbe about tshuva. Perhaps says his davening in a certain more passionate, loud way because of his inhibitors that are not there. Maybe. That's what it's about. But when it gets to the level of monkey and pig, it's totally 100% foreign to mitzvah and not what it's all about. Purim is a very, very challenging day. In Israel, it's doubly challenging. And to be able to, some my Rabbanim, I'll tell you the truth, my Rabbanim are very, very conservative people, and they're very smart people. And they've always kind of instilled in me and other Talmidim that most youngsters can't handle. And they don't know the differences between these levels, and very, very quickly, they go ahead and enter into levels where they won't be saying brachos, where they won't be davening, where even when the real Chi of Megillah on Thursday night, that's the Chi of Megillah, they won't fulfill that obligation. And even whether it's Friday, they'll miss the mitzvahs and what it's about. And then the people who perhaps understand what Purim really is, a day of simcha, of mishnah. And by the way, I should point out, as is obvious by now, the Rambam and others say very clearly that the drinking that is permissible and that's sanctioned, that's mitzvah, is in the context of Suda. In the context of the Sudas Purim, that's when there is a mitzvah. And to go ahead, and then many Rosh Yeshivas struggle with this issue, because speak to Rav Lowy about his Rosh Yeshiva, speak to others, the kind of holiness, the frivolity, the total wanton lack of regard of any sense of Tzelem Elokim that sometimes permeates Purim Day, especially in religious neighborhoods. It's embarrassing. And a person to approach Purim with L'shem Shamayim, as the Bir Halacha writes, everything L'shem Shamayim, everything B'Kedusha U'V'Tahara, and when you do it that way, it can be amazingly special and amazingly profound. When it comes, you approach it with, ooh, a heter to do anything I want. So all of a sudden, it loses all of its Kedusha, all of its Tahara, and it becomes very, very embarrassing. That's my take on these aspects. Kedusha in Tahara, singing Shiros V'Tishbachos LaHashem, Tfilah Tashem, emboldened, not inhibited. We can truly cry out and connect to the Nes of Purim, to find Hashem, where it might not be so apparent, to use a little bit of a potential stimulant, to find Hashem where we might not otherwise be able to see it. That's the message of Chayv Inish L'Besumei, that's the message of Purim. I want to wish everyone a Shabbos Parsha Zachar Sameach, a good Shabbos, and we should all be up to that sense of Purim with the proper sense of Kedusha and Tahara.